Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. My name is TJ Jackson, and with me is my eldest brother, Taj Jackson. How's it going, Taj? How you doing?
Going well.
Good. Today's date is March 13th, 2024. We are live, of course, on YouTube and Facebook, but you may be listening to us via the podcast. Yes, each and every episode gets transferred or up ingested into a podcast. So if you are a podcast listener, you can also check each and every show out there on all the major platforms. The one thing we ask, if you're enjoying the show, please leave a like or a strong comment so that anyone who may be looking for this kind of content to help them get through their day after a difficult situation will be able to find it easier. So that's a very important thing. And one way you can always help out the Dede Jackson Foundation is simply leave a review and to share all of our content that we do. Now, as for a disclaimer, we are not licensed therapists. We've been invited and we have learned from it. And what we like to do here is share our opinions in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need help, professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please do not just rely on us. As you can see, I'm at a hotel. I have not the best reception, yep. So it may go etchy in and out internet. On you.
Yeah,
etchy internet, and I have sound issues, so this is going to be a trial for me. It's going to be a challenging experience, but Taj has been prepared and is ready. With that said, Taj, I'd love to know how your week is going.
I mean, we had like some kind of stomach flu-y kind of thing that's been circulating around, and that was really, I guess, I mean, that happens in every family, I guess. You know, this is all new to me in terms of, you know, viruses circulating and stuff like that. But we finally got through all of that. And yeah, just kind of looking forward to a healthy, you know, rest of the year in that way. Not going to happen, but yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
As for, yeah, you know, it's part of life, Taj. You're a young parent, they're probably passing any illnesses on to. I know my internet just dropped, but you are truly in the thick of it. Taj, as you can see, for me, my reception's okay, right?
Yeah, now it is, yeah.
Okay. I am in La Quinta, California, in Palm Springs area. JoJo is doing ball crew for the big Indian Wells tennis tournament.
Nice. So,
yeah, she's a tennis player herself and volunteered. It's 100% volunteer, and she just did a big match. The Monfields and Rood, I think, are the tennis players' names. So she's been able to see some up close and personal. So that's what we are doing. But it's been tough. It's been challenging because of internet issues and it's a long schedule, but we're getting through it each and every day.
Yeah.
With that said though, Taj, I'd love to, if it's okay, get us off and going on the show.
I'm going to do
an incredible introduction for an incredible guest. That's the plan. This is her first time being on the Power of Love Show. Her name is Ashley Wolf. Since 2007, Ashley has worked in hospitals, hospice, and community settings as a certified child life specialist, supporting families journeying through some of life's most significant trials. Specializing in palliative and grief support, Ashley has witnessed the importance of developmentally appropriate education and nurturing emotional expression in helping families navigate death and grief together. After completing her master's degree, Ashley worked as a volunteer coordinator for hospice, learning about and supporting families in the comfort of their own home around end of life. In 2021, she became an advanced grief recovery method specialist, offering this evidence-based and action-oriented practice both in person and virtually. Ashley has been an adjunct professor of therapeutic play at Central Washington University, and believes that play as the language of children is one of the magic ingredients for having difficult conversations about death and grief. Nice. In 2023, Ashley completed her training as a death doula and is honored to help families in their preparation of death. The honoring and coordinating of their loved ones' wishes and the emotional support of the grief all along the way. Children are often excluded from the conversations and decisions made around the natural experience of death. It is Ashley's hope that with appropriate preparation and emotional support, the entire family can contribute in unique ceremony of their loved ones. Ashley embraces grief as our body's natural response to change. She believes that we don't need to be cured from grief, but rather companion through the unique and personal journey. Ashley is also the author of My Journey with the Wind, a magical story of grief, which helps children and their caregivers have a common language to talk about and express the feelings of grief. Together, through the included therapeutic activities, the readers are able to reflect on their individual grief experiences and find helpful ways to integrate back into their new reality while maintaining connected bonds with their loved ones. Here today to share a bit more about her personal journey and her admirable work. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ashley Wolf to the Power of Love show.
Yes.
So much. Yes. So much going on in your world. So much accomplished. Thank you for being here. Thanks for joining us. I love to start off the show by asking all of our guests to tell us about their journey and what brought you into this space.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here with you guys. And I love the work that you do. I love listening to this podcast and recommending it to friends and clients too. So I guess I've always loved to read. And when I was young, I was obsessed with the Babysitter's Club books. You've heard those. But I took babysitting like very seriously. Like I had a backpack. It had all these activities inside. And when I would, you know, all through high school, all through college, I was a babysitter and a nanny. And when I learned about the field of child life, I was like, oh, I speak kid. I love playing with kids. Kids in hospitals need to play. And so I started pursuing that as a career choice for myself. And it just clicked. I loved it. I got accepted in my internship right out of college. My intern supervisor left on maternity leave. So I got to step right into her job. And it just kind of like doors wide open. Every interaction with the families, I just learned so much from the families and staff that I worked with. And I just felt like I had found my purpose. And so that kind of started my journey into this field. One of the very first families that I worked with, it was a really tragic experience of a child who died. And I worked very closely with the child and his family and the palliative care team at the hospital I was working at. And I was so impressed with that team, and I learned so much, and I felt so calm at the bedside with the family in those hard conversations, just as a student, as an intern. And I was like, okay, I think this is really where I want to be. This is where I found the most meaning of my work. So then, you know, just as the years went on and opportunities came up, I just kind of followed that. And here I am now, with a lot of experience and a lot of stories and some degrees and letters after my name and things, but really just still with that mission of like helping people be human in the hard parts. And yeah, so that's kind of been my journey.
I love kids. I love learning about them and how they process things. And you as a certified specialist, I would love to know just something, I don't want to say basic, but something that we all are getting wrong when it comes to kids that we can help, that can help teach us and help us. I know it's kind of a generic question.
That's a great question.
Missing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a parent. I have three little boys and I get this wrong all the time too. And I think it's adults. We use too many words. You know, like when we're trying to talk to our kids about anything, sometimes we just use too many words. And instead of just like asking them what it is they already know or what questions they already have. Because a lot of the times when I was working with families, especially in hospice, they'd be like, oh, I'm so afraid to tell them like the C word that I have cancer, or the D word that I am going to die. And a lot of the times the kids already knew, you know, if I started our meeting with a question of like, do you know why I'm here? Or can you tell me a little bit about your mom's sickness or illness? And then they'd say, oh, she has this type of cancer and she's going to die. Like just real matter of fact, you know, and kids just know so much more than we think they know. And the more we talk at them, they're kind of like, wah, wah, wah. They have such less emotional tolerance to tolerate like big feelings for a long conversation. So I think that that is something we get wrong, is we think we need to have like one big sit down conversation, like about some big topic, and that they're going to hear it all in that one convo. And then they're going to be, you know, they're going to get it. And then we don't have to talk about it again. When really it's kind of like, we have to drop little seeds and open the conversation. Like we have to say the hard words. We have to say the word, you know, cancer, death, whatever hard thing, sex, like whatever these hard words are and concepts we have to explain to our kids, we have to give permission for them to say it and say like, there's no bad question. There's, you know, I'm here to talk when you're ready. And we got to look for their cues. And when they start to get squirrely and they're like, can we listen to music? Like, can we turn, can we do something else? Like we have to kind of follow that lead.
Now, how long did it take you to realize that aspect? Because that's, you know, that's great advice and knowledge in that way.
Honestly, I think really quickly. I do think that babysitting and nannying and being in the hospital with kids since 2007, I think I learned how to see, read their cues and their body language. And like, when they're done, they're done. Like, and there's nothing you can do. There's no amount of fanfare you can provide that like helps them get kind of back into that focused conversation of a hard thing. So you really just have to read that language and then redirect and like let them play. And like, sometimes they just need a minute, you know, like adults need like a minute to take a breath or go for a walk, or kids might just need a minute to play or say something silly. And then they might say, okay, now I'm ready to like, tell me more, you know? So I think it's just learning from them. Yeah. I can't think of one exact moment.
No, that's
curious great. To know what motivated you to pursue training as a death doula. Yeah. And how do you assist families in their preparation for death and the grief?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think I've been attending death in hospitals and in hospice my whole career in some way or another. And in my work as a grief counselor in private practice, I really, even at just talking to friends in the community, the amount of fear people have around death is so profound, like, so loud. I don't know another word. Like when I say like, oh, this is what I do, they're like, oh, I'm so afraid of dying. Like I don't even talk about death. And so I kind of was curious about what death doulas did. Some of the programs I looked into were very like serious, you know, like we're the death doulas. And I was like, ah, that's not my vibe. Like I'm silly and playful. Like and then I found on Instagram the death wives, which is like a play on the term midwife. And I was like, oh, these girls are funny. And they have like a sense of humor in it. And what they talked about was that death work is really a remembering. Like our society now is so institutionalized and there's professionals who do everything. And, you know, but back in like generations ago, death work was something that our ancestors did for each other. You died in your home, people came to the home, like, and it's kind of the same as birth work. And that's kind of the word doula, like people know a birth doula. We had a birth doula for my oldest son, and she came in with like 20 cards and was like, pick out your ideal birth plan. And so we picked out 20 cards that were our ideal plan. And she's like, this looks great. Now take away 10. And we're like, okay. She's like, this is more realistic. Now take away 5. This is even more realistic. And now take away one, and leave just one. And if you have just this one card, like that's a successful birth. And people don't really think that there's people who do that for death too. Like death is as natural as birth. We're all going to experience it, but we don't spend a lot of time preparing for that process. And just our culture as a whole is just so afraid of death that I wanted to pursue something that was able to contribute to a more death positive or experience, and to help families and even myself and my own family have a more positive experience with death and honoring the sacredness to it. And I think one of the biggest ways you can do that is to plan for it very well and to communicate about it a lot. So yeah, I'm excited to be in this newer role for myself, but it's also, you know, an ancestral remembering that we all have. And
that's really cool. You now, Ashley, you embrace grief as a natural response to change. Yeah. Could you elaborate on this perspective and how it informs your approach to supporting individuals and families?
Sure. So I am certified in the grief recovery method, which is an evidence-based grief practice, like an action-oriented steps kind of program. And they kind of teach that grief is normal and natural reaction to change, significant change. And I also just read this book. I love books, so I'm going to be plugging books all around. This The Grieving Brain by Dr. Mary Frances O'Connor. I love this book. And she looked at functional MRIs of grieving brains and studied how they look. And they look like a learning brain. And so a grieving brain looks like it's just learning something new, because that's what we're doing when we're grieving. Any change, you know, a job loss, a move, the death of a loved one, a pet. We're learning to exist in a world where that has changed, where that person is no longer there, that child is no longer there, that job that we went to for 20 years is not where we're doing with our day anymore. So our brain is constantly learning this newness. And so that's what I mean by it's this natural response. It's like our reaction is naturally, our brain is like, well, I got to learn how to do all of this again, like in a different way. So it is a natural response that our body just goes through, whether we're trying, like we can't stop it. Like we can't stop those experiences and those feelings from happening because it's natural.
Yeah.
I'm a big reader. I love book, so thank you for sharing that one. I never heard of it, but it looks great.
It's really good.
Okay, talking, that was called The Grieving Brain,
right? Yeah, The Grieving Brain.
Okay. Grieving Brain, I'll keep an eye out on that one, but the one I really want to talk about is your book, My Journey with the Wind, A Magical Story of Grief. Yeah. And how it helps children and caregivers navigate the feeling of grief together. So please just talk about your book for a little bit, and then also let us know who specifically would you say your book is for?
Yeah, sure. So I worked on, this book was a collaboration that I did with a nonprofit here in Hawaii called Let Grace In. And they support families who have experienced the death of a child. So we had a family in the community reach out to our team and ask us to write a book for caregivers that's kind of like an activity book / story that the caregiver and the child could work on together, the sibling of the child who died. So that's specifically the target audience, is for siblings of children who have died. But it can be used, you know, for any type of grief and loss. And so I had actually 2 weeks prior to this request, I had just written in like a journal that one of my bucket list items was to write a children's book. And then 2 weeks later, someone said, will someone write a children's book on your team? So I was like, yes, I will do that. And then I was on vacation. I went for a drive and I just called in all the patients I had worked with before who had died. And I just was thinking about them and I invited them to help me in this process. And pretty much in like 1-2 hour drive, the whole book was written. I started with some of my basic, like some of my main activities I would use in hospice when I'd go work with families. So I started with those activities, and then I kind of wrote a story to kind of preface those activities. And my kids we love rhyming stories. I've always loved to read and write poetry as well. We love that, like sing-songy. I think it does a really nice job of like pairing with emotional content too. So it's a book that is to be read like by a caregiver, like together with children in grief, to either just talk about grief as a general topic of like education, but also to like help specifically if someone's been going, has had a death or loss in their life. So yeah, the story's at the beginning and then it ends with the activities, and I can
read. Yeah, I was gonna ask, would you mind sharing a passage? Yeah.
So it is kind of long. It's written for younger school age children. It's a little bit long, so I'm gonna read like the summary, and then I'll just show you how it leads into the activities. Perfect. So the lessons I learned, the wind has taught me. Oh, I'm sorry. The lessons I realized the wind has taught me all show me how to live life more fully. The rainbow that shows the feelings I've had, they've all been inside me, not one of them bad. Then diving below in the ocean so deep, my memory's a special treasure to keep. The wave that surprises and tosses about is like when my feelings seem too big to let out. The shore is the place where my body finds peace. Breathing in and out slowly, my worries decrease. The mountain's a challenge, but also relief, sweating and stronger as I move through my grief. The best of the lessons as I wake from this dream is to realize my brother's more close than may seem. The missing and sadness will always be there, but his presence I feel and this magic will share. Back in our room, there's one thing I know. In love, he comes with me wherever I go. So it's a magical story. I wanted it to feel kind of like a dream. Have you read the book, I Love You, Stinky Face?
No.
It's so cute. It's like a bedtime story. And they like go on this magical adventure, you know, like where the wild things are and things like that.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be kind of this dream. And every family is different, right? Like everyone has access to different resources. So we wanted nature to resource this child. So we took them on a journey through nature, and they were able to be resourced and learn from the colors of the rainbow about their emotions. And they were able to learn from, you know, something scary, diving down deep in the ocean, to then find a treasure box that has their memories, like think and reflect back that memories are treasures. And then like that, those grief waves, those storms of grief that can catch us off guard. That's like a big giant wave that like tosses you and then just spits you out. And afterwards you're like, oh, that was exhausting. And so then like the stillness, right? And then there's that space in grief that we're like, do I just stay here in this like still, quiet, like hopeless place? Or like, what can help me find the energy to motivate to like get up and go and move my body, nourish my body, mindful practices. So then we talk about some different mindful practices. So all the activities in the back are like about learning about what grief is, reflecting on different grief experiences you've had in your life, making your own emotion rainbow with colors and feelings. Has your grief felt like? What does it look like? Building a memory box of your own. So what special items of your loved one and the tools and things you need, / coloring page, depending on the age. And then the preparation for the grief storm. So what are some things you can anticipate? What are some special songs that you might hear on the radio that might totally throw you off? When are the special anniversaries and holidays that your caregiver need to be aware of, and your teachers and whoever's using this book, child life specialists, counselors, putting those dates down so that people around you who are supporting you can know that those are going to be days that you might have a harder time to plan and prepare. We also wrote a guided meditation that coincides with the book too, to like be able to just be read at bedtime to help your body relax. So it's very like mindfulness and body embodiment, helping them connect. And then at the end, there's also there's hidden images all throughout the book. So it's a prompting to look back through the book and look for hearts and birds and dragonflies and butterflies. And then also to encourage them to look for these signs and messages in nature for themselves too, as messages from their loved one.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, I love it. It sounds like you put a lot of thought and a lot of care into the book and really gave your all, and really try to make sure every detail was there and every activity was there. So big props to you. It seems like a huge undertaking, but it seems like you put it together so well done and so approachable. So well done.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah. I like using it in practice with my own clients too. So it's like I created the tool that I want to use.
I can see. Venetia had a question. She says, hi, everyone. Where can we get this beautiful book? On the display, it showed a couple of spots, but I'll let you, Ashley, answer that, and I'll put the display back up for anyone who wants to see.
Sure. Thanks. Yeah, it's available on Amazon, and all the proceeds go back to the nonprofit Luck Grayson, supporting families who have experienced the death of a child here in Hawaii, too.
So, I didn't know that. I missed that part. That's great. That's great. Yeah. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay. Todd, did you have any comments? I don't want to cut you
off. Well, just in general, just amazing and how you used your own experience to just put everything in that book. Because, as she just said, it's just so well thought out that way. And I was very interested. This is a statement, sorry. It's not a question. But the hidden message aspect of it was just incredible. And that going back and looking through the book again and trying to find things, because that's really... is something that's what I always experienced with the loss of my mom, was the hidden messages aspect of it, finding those messages or something to that connection in that way. So I love that aspect of it, that you just included a bunch of your experience of what, has worked for other people, and it put it into a child's book is incredible. Mm-hmm.
There's a quote that says that death makes children of us all. And that's been my experience too, and talking with about anything difficult, whether it's a new diagnosis or a death coming up or a death that has happened, is when we speak the language of children, it really, like, our grieving brain can't processes things like children too, And so I think too, sometimes the language of people will ask, like, what age of this book is for. It's really for all ages, I think. Because I think that is the case that we, I don't know, sometimes the words of children resonate in a different way to us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Two comments real quick. First of all, I think it's brilliant, because oftentimes we overlook kids when, like you said in the earlier, sometimes we overlook kids and don't feel they need to be involved in a conversation or need to be, made aware of things, which is so unfortunate. So again, big props to you for including them and helping give them the tools on their terms to help them get through, challenging moments. And then there was a comment from Toria that I missed that I would love to get your opinion. I think I kind of have an idea, but just curious to hear your response. And Toria says, at what age do you think we can start having those discussions about death to kids?
I think it depends on the kid, and it depends on the situation too. Like if there is a situation where, like, you have a pet who dies or a family member who dies, then that's the time to have the conversation. There's actually a really wonderful, another book called Finding the Words, by Dr. Alan Wolfelt. And this is my favorite book to help caregivers know when and how to talk to kids about death. So I think it's less about age and more about context and more about, so what this book does in the contents, it's not a front to cover read. It's actually a resource where you can look up, for example, it says like chapter 5, when a grandparent dies, and then it breaks down the age group of how and what to be aware of in talking to those children. So it'll say preschoolers, ages 3 to 5, school age, age 6 to 11, teenage, age 12 to 19. And then he gives specific examples of what to say and not to say, things that can be helpful. And then it's like when a pet dies, when a friend or classmate dies, when someone dies by suicide. So giving really specific tips and tricks of how to have these hard conversations with kids of different ages. This was like my Bible when I was working in hospice and in the hospital. I'm like, oh, I didn't even think to take this into the consideration of not saying this or to say this. So there's too many. It's a good one.
Wow. Great. Brilliant. Find as well.
Yeah, I could tell you, reader. I'm just curious, outside of this grief space, what's your favorite book?
Oh my gosh, that is such a hard question.
Of course.
I know. We didn't prepare you.
There's just so many genres. Are we talking? Where are we at? I just read Hidden Potential by Adam Grant, and it was so good. But I love some fantasy fiction, like Get Me Lost in a Different World. with something weird or strange or romantic. And so I love those kind of books too. I just read Fourth Wing. I think a lot of people know Fourth Wing. Anyway, I listen to it on Audible. I listen to a lot of books, like too many, and all the time I have like earthings. So I finished listening to Fourth Wing and I finished it and I was like, there's nothing as good. So I'm just gonna listen to it again. And it was the first time that I've done that. Wow. So nice. Yeah.
That's cool. That's very cool. Okay, yeah. So Ashley, can you inform our community some of the effective ways to explore more about you? I'm going to just say this real quick because, you know, what I love about your vibe is you're just a wealth of knowledge, and it feels very authentic that you just want to help people and point them in a way and open a door that they may not have known about. And First and foremost, just want to give you those props because I definitely can sense that and feel that. So anyways, back to my question, what's the best methods for people to learn more about you and to follow you and what you do?
I have an Instagram account for my business called The Grieving Well. So I'm on Instagram at The Grieving Well, and I have a website that's relatively new. My friend Bobby made it for me. Shout out. No, thegrievingwell.com. And so I'm still figuring out the online website stuff. I don't have like a scheduling app on there yet and things that are in process. But that's the best way. And then on my website, there's like a reach out to me, contact me, and we can have a call and see kind of what people are looking for. If they're looking for just some resources or support or want to work with me virtually or in person, I'm available for that also.
Great. Yeah, I wanted to make sure you said that. So it is a virtual option as well. So for anyone around the world, you can reach out to Ashley. And again, in case someone's listening on a podcast, I just want to say for Instagram, it is at the_grieving_well. That is Ashley's handle on Instagram. And on the website, it's just thegrievingwell.com. No underscores, no spaces. Tasha, you can't even do that on a website, right? On a URL? I don't think you can do underscores. I don't know. Anyways, it's just the words, thegrievingwell.com. Ashley, curious to know what's next for you. You've already accomplished so much. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be another book? Is it another certification you're after? What is next for Ashley?
No, I think it's going to be some community griefy group things. I want to open up a space where people can come, similar to like a death cafe / grief cafe, but like I'm really into different modalities. Like I live on the beautiful North Shore of Oahu. And so when people come to see me at my office, I have hiking trails out my backyard. So there's some options. We can like do a walk and talk. We can go on a hike and do our session hiking. We can sit in an infrared sauna and do our session there. Double duty self-care. And so I kind of want to create a group space that's similar, where we can be really embodied in what it is we're talking about, discussing. We can create art, movement. So some group stuff is coming up, and I just feel it like percolating, and I'm excited to kind of open the space and hold a space for people to come and explore the conversation, the preparation about death, the mindfulness around it. I think that informs how we live, how we grieve. So I want to kind of bring some things in that way.
I missed out. I missed the opportunity to ask you, but you mentioned it again because it went in my head and went away. I'm curious to know, how did you end up in Hawaii?
Oh, I grew up here. So my dad moved here. He was a doctor in the Army. So he moved here when I was in elementary school, and he got to stay here because of his specialty. So we just had the privilege of getting to stay here and grow up here. And I went away to the Pacific Northwest and then came running back home after. Loved it there and I love it here. Yeah.
Okay, and I have one more question.
Yeah.
Hawaii's a vibe. It's a mentality. It's a different temperament, a very chilled, loving kind of nature, just real vibe, real as in a good way, just Mm-hmm. It feels like it's at one with life and its stages. And so I'm curious to know, do you, I don't want to say respect that, because I obviously do, but do you get that? Do you see how I can say that? Am I accurate with that?
Yes, you're completely accurate in that. Yeah. Okay. You feel it right after you step off the airplane. Yeah.
Yeah. And for anyone who hasn't been to Hawaii, that's, you know, you can come to LA and New York and Chicago, but you don't get the full spectrum of options here in the States without going to Hawaii. Because Hawaii is like no other. It is a different vibe, and I love it there. Yeah. So
I sat down to have this call with you, and I looked outside, and there was like a rainbow over the water, and then like a whale jumped, and I just like laughed. I was like,
yeah, we don't get that. not where I'm at now, but for a lot of us in LA, you look out the window and you see bumper to bumper traffic and people yelling and just chaos, and that can seep into your, it seems like, you know, it can seep into who you are. And that's one thing I love about Hawaiians. You guys are all very cool, very chill, and very
grateful to be here. I love it here.
Okay, so there's a couple comments that I want to highlight, but we are basically at that time, Ashley, where I'm going to ask you to talk about anything you want to talk about. It could be on topic, it could be off topic, it could be about your favorite cooking recipe, your favorite song, your favorite movie, whatever you want to talk about, up to a minute or two. What do you want to leave our community with?
Is this my like final thing I'm saying?
No, you can say another. No. Well, it's we're getting there.
Okay. All right. I started making sourdough bread. I was a little bit behind the trend of COVID because I had a newborn in 2020. So it was like I could either feed a baby or a sourdough starter. It was not going to be both. So I chose wisely, I think. But I just started getting into it, and I love it. I like love it so much. I am obsessed. And so if anyone is afraid, like I was afraid to like jump in and like actually do it, the Tartine cookbook is the way to go. Basic Country Loaf. Nice.
Okay. So there's a specific cookbook you would suggest?
Yeah.
And 100%. It's called A Warmer Time?
The Tartine, that San Francisco restaurant Tartine cookbook. They have like a bread book. My friend let me borrow hers, and she just follow this step by step, the Basic Country Loaf, and you'll have the best sourdough bread. And she was right.
I love it. I really love it. That's really cool. Okay, so any specific, I know you said sourdough, but any specific one that is your go-to that people are like, this is good, Ashley?
The Basic Country Loaf. That's the only one. I'm like a one trick sourdough person. That's all I can do. I've only made it like four times, but it's been fun. And I'm like, truly like, this is going to be, I'm going to be however old I'm going to be making sourdough bread. I'm sure of it.
Very, very cool.
Sourdough bread is like my Achilles heel of bread. It's the one bread that like, it's the smell of it. It's everything. The texture, like that's the one thing. That's the one bread I cannot. It's very hard for me to pass up on. Just so that you know,
there's gonna be one that it's at least like a good one. You know.
Yeah.
All right. Let me read some of these comments. Carrie says Ashley is so genuine and sweet.
Thanks, Carrie.
Miss Silent Siren says I liked Ashley. She was very sweet. D's Tiny Kitchen says wish you much success with your book. Brenda says, I love Ashley. She's so sweet and genuine. I love her creative approach to helping with healing. Carol wants to add, I think you're going to help a lot of people, Ashley.
Thanks, Carol.
Venetia says, I would love to give this book to my daughter, talking about your book, Ashley. My daughter, for her to read this book to her children for the loss of their brother. This is from Brandy, who says, thanks so much, Ashley, for the information and a wonderful and beautiful episode. And then Jack Love says, wow, thanks, Ashley, for the book suggestions and your book. Mm-hmm. So a lot of love. A lot of people felt what I felt. Ashley, you just have a cool, sweet, calming presence. And I just want to thank you for joining the Power of Love show, for giving your temperament and your wisdom to our community. For everyone out there, don't forget, you can go to thegrievingwell.com to learn more, to connect more with Ashley. And on Instagram, it is at thegrievingwell. Each word is spaced out using an underscore. Her book is called My Journey with the Wind. It is available on Amazon, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, and bookshop.com. Now, just a minute ago, you asked me if it was your final word. Now we are at that moment where it is going to be all of our final words. So I'm prefacing all that just in case there was more you wanted to say. And again, the floor is yours.
I think that we're all just human, trying to get through this human experience together. So my final word is that you don't have to be a death doula or a grief counselor or a child life specialist. You don't have to get everything perfectly, what you do, what you say, to support people in grief and around death. I think you just need to lean into the pain of the people around you that you care about. And I think you just need to show up with love.
Yes, show up with love. Can't end it any better than that. Ashley, thank you so much. Taj, was there anything you wanted to say?
No, just, you know, we always say this, but it's people like you that, you know, we're so appreciative of in general, because it's so needed in today's world in that way. And I'm here listening, and I can tell that you genuinely love what you do and love helping people. And that's, I'm thankful that you're on this show in that way, because I know that not only did I learn a lot, I know that the listeners did as well.
Thank you guys for the work that you do too.
Yeah, I second everything he said, Ashley, and keep doing your thing. Other books or anything you have coming out, please inform us, and just know we're there supporting you and wishing the best for you. And again, thank you for being in this space. It's not the coolest space to be in, but it's the most, I feel, one of the most important. So thank you for doing your thing in it. And I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to sign off, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Again, her name is Ashley Wolf. On behalf of our entire foundation, the Dede Jackson Foundation, that is my brother Taj Jackson. My name is TJ Jackson, and we will see you all next week at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Adios, everyone. Bye.